From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the next portion of a message entitled, Jesus, the Perfect Savior, part of this series in the book of Joshua. From chapter 12, which is a resume of Israel's conquest of the land of Canaan, Dr. Cairns is drawing a number of parallels between Joshua and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, Joshua and Jesus both finished the work to which they'd been called. By his death on the cross, Christ has purchased a complete salvation for his people. Then, as Joshua was victorious over the heathen peoples of Canaan, so the Lord Jesus has vanquished all of his enemies, as well as those of his people. By his victory over death, Satan, and hell, Christ has furnished a rich inheritance for all who trust in him as Savior. Dr. Cairns will return to the message shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Be ye separate. The Christian, while in the world, is not to be of the world. He should be distinguished from it in the great object of his life. To him, to live should be Christ. Whether he eats or drinks or whatever he does, he should do all to God's glory. You may lay up treasure, but lay it up in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves break not through nor steal. You may strive to be rich, but be it your ambition to be rich in faith and good works. You may have pleasure, but when you are merry, sing psalms and make melody in your hearts to the Lord. In your spirit, as well as in your aim, you should differ from the world. Waiting humbly before God, always conscious of His presence, delighting in communion with Him, and seeking to know His will, you will prove that you are of heavenly race. And you should be separate from the world in your actions. If a thing be right, though you lose by it, it must be done. If it be wrong, though you would gain by it, you must scorn the sin for your master's sake. You must have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Walk worthy of your high calling and dignity. Remember, O Christian, that thou art a son of the King of Kings. Therefore, keep thyself unspotted from the world. Soil not the fingers which are soon to sweep celestial strings. Let not these eyes become the windows of lust, which are soon to see the King in his beauty. Let not those feet be defiled in miry places, which are soon to walk the golden streets. Let not those hearts be filled with pride and bitterness, which are ere long to be filled with heaven, and to overflow with ecstatic joy. Then rise, my soul, and soar away above the thoughtless crowd, above the pleasures of the gay and splendors of the proud, up where eternal beauties bloom and pleasures all divine, where wealth that never can consume and endless glories shine.
Thirsty land refreshing land.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
take away the Lord Jesus Christ. And who can ever fulfill the promises, the prophecies, and the types and shadows of the Old Testament? But the Lord Jesus has fulfilled them all. To do so, he had to be both a Moses and a Joshua, a Melchizedek and an Aaron, a Joseph and a David. He had to be a servant and a sovereign. He had to be one before whom the kings of the earth would fall, and yet the one despised and rejected of men. He had to be a prophet, a priest, and a king. He had to be born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, and yet be known as a Nazarene. He had to die on the tree, a victim, and yet be raised as a victor. He had to be a sacrifice and a savior. All this the Old Testament demanded of the Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished it all. He said, "It is finished." He accomplished all that the Old Testament had ever required, and indeed all that God's holiness had ever required for our salvation. Thank God, like Joshua, Jesus finished his work. It is a finished work that is presented to sinners. Not a half-finished work. Not a 75% finished work. Not a 99% finished work. But a finished work that is presented to sinners. The gospel is Jesus paid it all. The gospel is Jesus finished the work. The gospel is a complete salvation. In the record of the most famous heresy trial in the history of the modern Irish Presbyterian Church, the heresy trial in the 1920s of Professor J.E. Davy, the greatest scholar in the church and also the greatest apostate. In that heresy trial, some of these smart theologians were trying to make fools out of some of the witnesses against Davy. Some of the witnesses were farmers, decent, upright, godly men. They weren't experts in theology, but they were experts in grace. They knew Christ. These theologians would, as I say, tie them up in knots, with the effect that Davy was found not guilty, although the most arrant and arrogant heretic you could imagine. But one of those old men said a very true thing as he was speaking to an eminent professor. He said, "Sir, your religion is all doing. Mine is all done. It is finished." Oh, my friend, salvation by receiving Christ's finished work is God's free gift to every believer. Believe, and your soul will live. Joshua, like Jesus, finished the work. Joshua vanquished his enemies. Our Bible reading is the story of mighty conquest. We have been reading this for some weeks and even months now in the verses and chapters that have gone before. You read this list: the king of Jericho, the king of Ai, the king of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, Eglon, right on down the list, 31 kings, not one king could stand before Joshua. Joshua was never more like Christ than in this. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He was confronted by wicked men, and he overcame them. He was confronted by the demons of hell, and he overcame them. He was confronted by disease and sickness, and he overcame them. He was confronted by sin by Satan and by death. And thank God he overcame them all. Throughout the New Testament, the picture is of the triumphant Christ. Triumphant in his birth. The virgin-born Savior whom Herod sought to slay, yet triumphant. Triumphant in his life. Triumphant in every circumstance that he met. Death could not exist in his presence. Read the New Testament and you'll find never a dead person stayed dead when Jesus came on the scene. No circumstance taxed his ability. No enemy could tax his strength. The Lord Jesus triumphed in his life. Thank God he triumphed in his death. I've often pointed out to you that the one and only time we read of Christ bowing the head, dropping his head on Calvary, throughout all those dark hours, the only time we read of him bowing his head was after he had said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head. You see, men couldn't bend, break, or make to bow the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was triumphant in death. He said of his life, "No man taketh it from me." It was not the nails that held him to a tree. Not a Roman spear that put him to death. He bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He said, "I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it up again." He triumphed in his death. Thank God in his resurrection. We were singing last Sabbath day those great hymns of resurrection. They always thrill my soul. There are some hymns I could have sung every Sunday. I know that that may get a little boring for you, but I have very limited imagination. And I must say, when I get great hymns, I really could have them all the time. And if we were to sing every Sunday for the next year, "Low in the grave he lay," it would not be too often for me. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Hallelujah. Christ arose. He is victorious at the right hand of God in heaven. He is the reigning king of angels, devils, and men. And he'll triumph in his coming again, when he will be revealed in heaven in flaming fire with his mighty angels taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless God, he vanquished all his enemies. That's good theology. But I want to tell you, it comes down to very personal and very practical theology. When you and I came to Jesus Christ, how did we come? We came bound hand and foot with the chains of sin. Horatius Bonner asks the question, "How shall a sinner come to Jesus?" And he answers, "With his sin, for he can't come any other way." We came to Jesus weary, worn, and sad, chained, slaves to passion, to lust, and to pride. But he broke those chains. The triumphant Christ vanquished not only his enemies but ours, subdued not only Satan but our iniquities, brought us out of unbelief into faith, out of bondage into blessing, from the broad road to destruction to the straight and narrow path to glory. Thank God he broke the power of cancelled sin and set us prisoners free. And he continues to do it. He continues to do that. How can we live above the world and sin? How can we live with any degree of victory over the flesh, over the world, and over the devil? Only by the power of our greater than Joshua, who vanquished all his enemies. And then finally, the third point of comparison, parallel, Joshua, who finished the work and vanquished the enemies, consequently furnished an inheritance to the people of God. Verse 7 says, "These are the kings of the country which Joshua smote on this side of Jordan." The end of the verse, "which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions." He finished the work so that the children of Israel could feast forever on the fruit of that work. The Bible tells us that he gave them a rich inheritance. Moses had looked forward to that. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 9, he described that inheritance. "The Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of waters, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it." Now that's the promised land. That's the picture of what it is to be saved. That's what the Lord promises to sinners when he calls them to the Lord Jesus. You've been in the land of bondage. You've been in the wilderness of sin. Before you, there is a good land, a land of God's fullness, a land of fatness, a land of favor, a land where God has made absolutely perfect provision for every need that you can have now and for eternity. Joshua led them into a rich inheritance, and in an infinitely higher sense, that's what our Savior has done.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.